Every year, around one-third of all food produced for human consumption is lost or wasted, an enormous amount given the 820 million hungry people in the world. Food loss and waste has all kinds of consequences for economies, food security and the environment. A new report by the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, explains exactly where these losses are occurring along the food chain from farm to fork and how countries are stepping up to tackle the problem. Andrea Cattaneo is a senior economist at FAO and the lead author of the report. So what does the report tell us about the scale of the problem?
The report confirms that food loss and waste is indeed a very serious problem. In 2011, FAO estimated that roughly one-third of food was lost or wasted globally. Now, this estimate really raised awareness on the issue, but it was just the first approximation based on very limited data. So the report presents new trackable estimates for part of the supply chain, indicating losses of approximately 14% from post-harvest up to but not including retail. On the waste side, for retail and consumption, updated numbers are being estimated. So the new global number for both loss and waste, as we improve our estimates, may be 25% or it could be 35%. We just don't know yet. We only know losses. But even this range confirms that the problem requires action. And as we take action, we also need to be able to track progress in a systematic manner, which is what the new estimates are about.
Could you briefly explain the difference between food loss and food waste?
Food loss, as reported by FAO, occurs from post-harvest up to but not including retail. These losses can be incurred by farmers, processors, or those working in the transport and storage of food. Food waste, on the other hand, happens at the retail and consumer level. This distinction between loss and waste is useful because the people involved have different objectives. For losses, it's about businesses and the bottom line. For waste, it's about consumers' demands and their behavior.
So where does food loss and waste mostly occur?
I mean, food loss and waste can occur anywhere along the supply chain and anywhere in the world. In terms of regions, the results in the report indicate that the highest losses are in Central and Southern Asia, where it's about 21%. In North America and Europe, where it's about 16%. And the lowest in Australia and New Zealand, where it's around 7%. Also, it depends substantially by commodities. So, for example, for fruits and vegetables, and along with roots and tubers, these are some of the commodities that report the highest levels of loss. And another interesting dimension of a problem is where along the supply chain it happens. And what this report finds is that there's striking variability of the level of losses along, for example, storage or transport. So you really need to find out the critical loss points in the supply chain to have effective action.
What do we need to do to reduce food loss and waste?
First and foremost, we need to be more aware of the food that is lost or wasted. This will enable action by us as individuals and by policymakers. Individuals can make a difference all along the supply chain. Take businesses. Profitable opportunities exist to reduce losses. And similarly, for consumers, wasting less food often requires really minor changes in behavior and can bring a considerable savings on food expenditures. But individuals acting alone will address only part of a problem because the problem is systemic. So policymakers will have to think about the bigger picture, investing in infrastructure where needed, informing the public about options to reduce losses and waste, and in some countries, reforming food subsidies that may unintentionally lead to more losses and waste.
How can curbing food loss and waste benefit countries and the environment?
There are three dimensions in which benefits can be had by reducing food loss and waste. One is kind of a benefits to producers in terms of the bottom line, being more productive. There can be benefits to food security and nutrition through better incomes, for example, or through the recovery of food. And finally, there can be benefits on the environment. So, for example, in Benin and Mozambique, the use of hermetic bags and metal silos has boosted farmers' incomes by reducing on-farm losses. And with that comes better livelihoods and better food security. In Kenya and Tanzania, the clean energy technologies used for chilling milk have also helped on the income side, while also being environmentally friendly. And finally, on the food recovery and redistribution programs, these have proved quite effective in terms of food assistance. So, for example, in Brazil, there's a national network of food banks, Mesa Brasil, that serve more than 1.4 million Brazilians through public-private partnerships. A similar initiative in Egypt, the Egyptian Food Bank, fed an average 250,000 people monthly. So people can make a real difference by figuring out systems in which food can be recovered and redistributed. On the environment side, to meet the goals of the Paris Agreement, essentially every reduction counts. And what the report finds is that reducing waste is always an effective way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So it's something that should really be taken into consideration as an option in terms of reaching the goals of the Paris Agreement.
That was Andrea Catania, a senior economist at FAO.